I just want to say good morning to everyone. If you could turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 4. Book of James, chapter 4. We're going to read from 13 through 17. James, chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Which starts off where James says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live or do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." The focus here is what James says, you know, when we talk about and make plans for tomorrow, because it's that time of year, you know, that we start reflecting on the past of 2024, and we start looking to what it might be in 2025. And, you know, as James says here, today or tomorrow we go into such and such town, spend a year there, make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. It is okay to say you do not know, but we also respond with it be the Lord's will, because it truly is, it's God's will whether we'll be able to see what happens tomorrow. God knows, and that will be revealed. But if you look over to Matthew chapter 6, which is consistent with what is said here, verse 34, Jesus says, "Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." My wife always reminds me of this scripture. So if I mess up in this sermon, feel free to ask her any questions. But but the thing is, we should always, you know, we spend a lot of time planning for tomorrow, not realizing what tomorrow will bring, but our focus needs to be on today. Today is December 29th. 2025 is not here. We still should be focused on today, not even December 30th, because we don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day. Jesus is saying our focus needs to be on the moment at hand, the day the Lord has given us, because we can lose focus when, just like we're driving, we should be looking ahead. Like so many others may be on the cell phone, they are distracted, so therefore they swerve and their car goes in different directions. It can lead to an accident, or God forbid, be a fatal accident. So when I think about the scripture, I always go back to the year 97, January 97, which was really, I was pretty much in a state of mind that January, as far as what I was going to do. You know, I wanted to transfer to a different college. I was going to Montgomery College, and, you know, I was worried. I was a little bit unsure about the direction of where I wanted to go. I knew I wanted to get out of my mom's house. That much I knew. I know I wanted to go back away to college and finish up where I messed up at and move on from there. But if you had asked me of December of 1997, I would be married and also be in the church. I would be looking like, you're kidding me, right? I mean, those are two huge steps. You know, I haven't even met anybody. You know, at that time, I was just me bearing my mom and making plans for my life. I had no idea what the future held for me later on that year. But lo and behold, later on that year, all those things occurred. I got baptized in October of 97. 2 months later, I got married. And yet, you know, January 98, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm just sitting there like, what a year. Yeah, I didn't know all that was going to happen. And I always think about that, because I do remember there was a time in January I have to sit there Sunday evening just saying, what am I going to do? I need to make plans for the year. And it just shows you that God has other plans for us, because turn me to Proverbs chapter 16. We can make plans of the heart, but look at verse 1 and 2. It says, "The plans of the heart belong to whom? To a man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." I can make all the plans I want. I can make all the plans I want in terms of what I desire to do. Okay? But look at verse 9 in Proverbs 16. Go down to verse 9. It says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." So my path was already set forth. What I wanted to do was planned out in 97, But the Lord had different plans for me, and I had to go this way. And that's the thing. And I think each and every one of us can look back in our lives and reflect on the point in our lives where we thought we were heading this direction, and we ended up, the Lord sent us that direction. And if you think of biblically, scripturally, think of Joseph. He had no idea his brothers were sold, sell him in slavery. He had no idea he would have to go through all the trials and tribulations he faced. And you can say the same thing for Dan. You can say the same thing for the apostles. Everybody we read about in the scriptures that served the Lord had a purpose. And then you also go to Jeremiah chapter 1 right quick. So let's flip over to Jeremiah chapter 1. And certainly, Jeremiah can attest to this. Verse 4 in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." So that's something for us to reflect on, that Jeremiah, God had a task for Jeremiah, okay? And certainly Jeremiah was like, hey, this task you put before me, I'm just a child. But the Lord said, before I knew you, before you were born, I knew you. He formed me, but he knew you. He had his will to be carried out by Jeremiah. And Jeremiah didn't know that, but it was revealed to him in chapter 1. And so likewise, when we go out and make plans, we have to be mindful that it is the Lord that's going to direct our steps. Now, we have that knowledge as Christians. We have that knowledge as Christians. So just like we get up in the morning, maybe some of us want to retire, some of us want to move, some of us want to maybe get another job, or some of us may want to do other things, plan a vacation. God is going to decide. But where our focus should be is on today. If we're going through a lot of struggles, and those struggles could be externally or internally, it could be within your own household, we need to focus on what's happening at that moment. Because that's what Jesus said our focus should be. Because if we lose focus, those problems will persist and possibly will get worse, but we can't think about tomorrow. We have to think about today. We got to solve some of those problems, if not all of them, today. Because guess what? Tomorrow is not promised. And when we lose focus on the things that are out of our control and don't trust in God, then guess what happens is we get a little bit of anxiety. We get a little stress. Our minds go take us places where it shouldn't go. And instead of us focusing our minds on meditating upon the word of God, we start focusing on other things that are worldly, and then we let the stress and anxiety get to us, and that causes other problems, okay? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, once again it says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." So think about today. Let's not think about 2025, it's not here. Let's not think about tomorrow, it's not here. But what we can do is focus on now. And so likewise, we go back to Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 to 34. Jesus, again, right before I read verse 34, look at verse 33. Christ says, "But seek the first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Talking about the struggles of this world and what God is providing. Okay? And when we are focusing on the day the Lord has given us, there is something God wants us to do. Psalms chapter 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made." So what is it that you should do? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, focus on what it doesn't say. Well, I've had some problems from yesterday, so it looks like my problems from yesterday are going to persist on today. No, it didn't say that. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." God wants you to focus on rejoicing and be glad in it. Why? Well, tomorrow's not promised, but if you wake up tomorrow morning, you need to rejoice. Whatever problems you had today or whatever problems you had on Saturday, yes, they still may be there, but God has given you another opportunity to live and glorify Him. Whatever you did wrong on Saturday, and God has awakened you today, He's given you another opportunity to make it right with Him today. That in of itself is a reason to glorify God, irregardless of what happened. If someone offended you yesterday, or you offended someone yesterday, you have an opportunity to make it right with that person or forgive that person. You have an opportunity to do that. Why? Because how many have offended God? How many have offended Jesus? Do you think Jesus wouldn't sit there and have us take vengeance? No. We have a chance to make it right today. So the thing is, this is the day the Lord has made. And that's the focus. He has made this day for everybody that has opened their eyes. And if we've learned over the past few years from people we've lost, loved ones, family, friends, we should be happy. Even those who are really sick. Guess what? If they are still with us today, that is a reason to rejoice. Where they're still sick. It doesn't matter. They're still with us. There are people who are healthy who have never woke up. They died in their sleep. No health problems whatsoever. There are some people who have walked the earth and have died in their sleep. We should be rejoicing that this is the day the Lord has made. But let's look at the flip side of that. Because what stress and anxiety can do to us is it can make us forget. It can make us complacent. And it can make us just kind of not think this way. Even as Christians, we can fall into that trap. I've fallen into that trap. So we need some things to help us to get to the point where we can rejoice. Because if we're not rejoicing, that's a problem. And we need to recognize that. If we wake up in the morning and it's like, oh, yesterday was rough. I'm not feeling the rejoicing part of this. Then we need to do something about it. Because if you don't do something about it, like a bad disease, it's going to get worse for you. So what is it that we can do about it to make sure that the day that we're living in, we are rejoicing? Because if we look at, let's go back to James right quick. Give me 1 second as I flip over. James chapter 1. There's another reason why we should be rejoicing if we're going through struggles. And I've gone over this scripture with you before, where in James chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Why? Verse 3, "You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." So let's stop there. If you're going through struggles yesterday on Saturday, you had problems with someone or something, or you're going through struggles in some form or fashion, and that problem from your standpoint is not resolved, God wakes you up today, you're not in rejoiceful mode, okay, that's fine. But James is saying, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. You know, as a kid, I got the first Nintendo console, so that's how old I am. And one of the most popular games that came out was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And this came out right at the peak when Mike Tyson was the heavyweight champion at 18. And so every kid I know of was trying to get that game. Now, my mom was, you know, don't go back and she comes here, don't repeat this. She was stingy back then. So I was pretty shocked that she gave me a Nintendo. Much less Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. So you know, you already know what I was doing 24/7, okay? Here's the problem with the game. Every time I fought Mike Tyson, I couldn't win. My wife knows this. I'm a competitor. When I lose, I throw the controller down. I'm not going to go into details. It's a long story, okay? But I hate losing. It is a weakness of mine. My competitiveness is a weakness of mine. So let me get to the point. Well, Nintendo back then had a magazine called Nintendo Power Magazine. Again, my mom was generous enough to pay for the subscription, and it had all the cheat codes to the game. including how to beat Mike Tyson in the game. And so I felt the conclusion of me beating Mike Tyson was already there. All I gotta do is follow these controllers and it will happen. So I got that information from someone at school, and I got the magazine and show laid everything out, and I beat Mike Tyson. I was the happiest thing on the planet. I mean, I just felt like I conquered the world. You gotta remember, I'm like a kid. I'm like, Mike Tyson's knocked out. I was the first one to knock out Mike Tyson. And here's the thing. The joy came from, it was, I felt guaranteed I would have success. I had guaranteed when I played that game, I was going to win. So think of it like the day the Lord has given us. James is saying, hey, count it all joy, even if you're going through struggles, because number one, you have victory through Christ. It's almost like through Christ, Christ is our cheat code. He has given us the victory over death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We can read about that. So that's our cheat code. We know we can get to heaven if we follow the instructions. The Word of God is like my Nintendo Power magazine. It gives us the instructions on how to get there. It's almost guaranteed if you follow it. You can't lose. So it's almost like you don't have to wait till you get there. I was excited that I had the cheat code. But the Word of God is the cheat code for us in this daily life. So we should count it all joy, because victory is through Jesus Christ. And so when we get caught up in our struggles, here's something we tend to do a lot. We tend to forget. It's always, just like when we watch TV, it's always the bad things, but we forget about the good things. Why the good things seem to be boring? Think about all the good someone has done for you. I still remember going to a Chick-fil-A in La Plata, Maryland one morning of the week, ready to eat order a little bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, hash browns, you know the drill. Pull up, ready to get out my wallet. Lady like, no, you don't need to pay for it. Another person paid it for you. And I'm, what? I don't have to pay. Yeah, the other person. And I'm thinking like, who is that person? What made them do that? You know, they're showing me as a Christian. You know, and I'm sitting there, I'm stunned, and I'm like, the whole meal. And my whole mind was like, wow, what a way to start off the day. God has performed a good deed for me, showing me as a Christian what I must do to help others. And also, it was a day to really just, what they say, count your blessings, right? Count it all joy, but don't count it all joy. James didn't say count it all joy when just good things happen. He says count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. It's going to make you prepared for the battles that Satan brings to the forefront. Jesus has already guaranteed you victory. And in case we forget, we can go to the Word of God and see how Jesus confronted Satan one-on-one. Who won that one? So we have confidence that we can overcome. But going back to what I said before, when we tend to forget, obviously the solution is to remember. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. God is asking his people to remember. So if we want to prepare for tomorrow, or even stay in today and prepare for tomorrow, we should remember what God has done for us so we can count it all joy. He says to his people, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. How many times do we read where God is reminding his people what he has done for them? How many years were they in slavery in Egypt? God said he heard their cries. And then he sent Moses to free them. And then when he freed them, we already know what happened. They turned against him. God is constantly reminding his people, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you. You may think things have gotten stale. No, they haven't. Don't forget what God has done for you. I do not forget what God has done for me in the year 97. Count your blessings. Go all the way back. Count your blessings for those who are still with you. Count your blessings for the ones even God has taken away from you because of the memories. Count your blessings when someone shared the Word of God with you. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Chapter 8, verse 2. God is saying, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might what? Humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. The next time we question why God is allowing this to happen to us, why are these bad things happening to me? Why has God allowed this person to do X, Y, Z? Why has God allowed some person to take somebody else's life that you know? Why is God allowing these things to happen? Well, it happened to God. When they took away my child, they took away the Son of God. They killed him. But he died for you. Matter of fact, God offered him as a sacrifice to those who hated him. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 5. You know, he died for sinners. His son died for all of mankind. His own people was responsible for him dying. So that's the thing. He let a robber, a murderer go, Barabbas, and then the innocent man die on the cross. That's how much God loves you. So everything that man talks about, well, God allowed this to happen. God allowed that to happen. He also allowed them to kill his son, torture his son. While the rest of man turned his back on God, his people turned their back on God. They turned their back on him. And how did God respond to that? Send his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will have what? Eternal life. So it's important for us to remember these things today. And if tomorrow comes, remember them tomorrow. Because by remembering them, guess what? It will help us to grow. We also need to remember that God is God, and that we need to understand that there is no other God before him. Turn with Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Once again, he's saying, remember the former things of old. For I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Because there is no other God. Thankfully, that is the case. And we need to understand that anything that is preventing us from seeing this, whether it be through our words or our actions, then we need to remember and cut those things off. Psalms chapter 77, verse 11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. Those scriptures are there to help us to remember so we can be joyful. We can be joyful. If we're going to spend a lot of time remembering the evil, bad things of what people do, then certainly we can make an effort to remember the things that God wants us to remember. You have to make time. You need to make time. Don't give Satan time. Give God your time. Don't remember the evil things to get you all perked up and come with a hateful heart. Remember the good things that God is helping you to overcome. And so the thing is, when we remember these things, it's important for us because it encourages us. It helps us to grow. The other thing is, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, the idea is we partake of the Lord's Supper to remember. We weren't there physically to see Jesus die. We read about it. We know it happened because we walk by faith, not by sight. We believe. We all became believers because we were convinced. We were persuaded. Not almost persuaded. We were persuaded because somebody made time to think about you in that specific day to share the spiritual food, the Word of God, with you. Someone cared about your soul, which we'll get to in a second. Someone cared about your soul in that day to say it will make their day, because they were rejoicing that they had the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. Do you remember that person? Some of you might, some of you might not. Do some of you remember? Maybe not that person, but other, maybe people, a group of people. Do you remember them? Do you remember them to give God the glory that God sent them to you because he loves you so much? That's how he works. God sent some people to you to be at this moment in time in 2024. who knows where we might be in 2028. I had no idea in December 2024 on the 29th that I would be living in Fredericksburg, Maryland. Never did that I would think that I would be living in Virginia. Never did. But here I am. Never thought I'd be living in a place called Colonial Beach. Never thought I would have six kids. I'm an only child. Only child. How'd you go from an only child to you one foot? I'm used to having my privacy. Quietness, whatever. Boom, here I am. And so I think back, and I have not forgotten. Well, I'm starting to forget. But it's almost like there were some habits that you adopt as an only child. But I'm thankful for that because I had to overcome some personal struggles. Yes, I was depressed. I went through a long depression. I didn't see any professional. I remember walking through a Rock Creek Park. And by the way, if people don't think we have poison snakes in D.C., we had water moccasins. And they wore black widow spiders back there, too. I was part of the Boy Scouts. I had to get up and take pictures. It was a black widow spider right next to me, not realizing I could have been bitten and died on the spot. But the thing is, I remember walking through Rock Creek Park. I was just depressed. This was at high school. And because the thing is, when you grow up as an only child in a single parent household, you are alone a lot. And really, you're spending more time with your peers. More time with your peers. And unfortunately, it's not the church. It's not your brethren. And on top of that, your peers are young. So you know how we are when we're young. Excuse my own kids, but I'm talking about, you know, you're not in the church. Young people can be very vicious. And then I don't know if some of you were very vicious when you were young, but hey, I had the vicious nature in my own way as well. And so when we go through that state of mind, when things are good, things may be good. When things are bad, they are bad. And so likewise, when things are bad, you go through this state. But the thing I lacked was I didn't have Christ in my life. So I couldn't take this remedy of remembering. Okay, remembering the days of my youth so I can do away from all the ungodly things I partake of. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember also what? Your Creator in the days of what? Your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near, which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Turn over also to Psalms chapter 143, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. Remember the moments that God has delivered for you. It's an encouragement. If you got family issues, guess what? You can overcome that. If you got friends issue, where you feel like they're not treating you fairly, maybe you need to cut them off. God can deliver for you. You got work problems. God can deliver for you. You got marital problems. God can deliver for you. You got parental problems. God can deliver for you. The thing is, what is it that God cannot do for you? And if the answer is he could do it all, then why not go to him? There's a reason to rejoice. We serve a God who can deliver us out of every single situation, irregardless of what we're going through. Think of David, everything he went through, Joseph, Daniel. The idea is, behind the scriptures that we may not have been living there, but we have testimony from the scriptures that this is how God works. And just as he told his people in Deuteronomy to remember the things he has done for them, likewise, he's telling us, look at the things I've done for my people. You don't think I would do it for you? I would do it for you as well. So no matter what problems we have, and here's the other thing. When we get caught up into the struggles of today, and we lose hope, we start predicting, well, this ain't gonna work out. This is bad. So let me go ahead and start planning for things to get worse. Okay? You don't know what's going to happen. Number one, get your mind back to today. It is within your ability. Because you have will. God gives you a will to make choices today. You can make it right. But what's holding you back from making it right today? Is it your pride? Is it ego? Is it vanity? All those things are sins. Satan would love to put those barriers where you are a stumbling block to yourselves. Just like we were reading about how Balaam and Balak were a stumbling block to the people of Israel. You could be a stumbling block to yourself. if you allowed your pride and ego, if there's someone that's holding you back, what's holding you back? Christ took it. Christ took it. Should you have not to have the mind of Christ? So by remembering these things, we begin to understand something. That God is with us. He can deliver us from every situation. And we understand those things because there's a value that we understand that's going to be, we can be held accountable or not held accountable in the sense that we are doing everything the Lord wants us to do. Let me get to the last part of this lesson. So what is the value to all of this? Your soul. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Matthew 16, verse 26. For what if it will profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? It's a struggle sometimes when we are going through difficult situations in this world and our minds are focused on the physical, carnal minded. Even as Christians, we see Paul in the Corinthians trying to get the Christians there to focus on what God wants them to do because they get sidetracked. But the problem here is when we are sidetracked by worldliness or other things, we lose our ability to see what is most precious in the sight of God, our souls. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12 right quick. And we've gone through this parable before, and I just want to highlight a few things. This is a parable of the rich fool. So we're going to read verses 13 and 15 right quick. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brothers to divide their inheritance with me." But he said, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." So highlight the latter half of 15. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. Is your soul physical? No, it isn't. No, it isn't. This body is physical, but your soul isn't physical. Well, how does having all money and material wealth benefit your soul? It may benefit you in this world from a physical standpoint, but how does it benefit your soul? That's the question. Well, the answer to that is, if we read on, he gives another parable in verse 16 to 21, talking about the land of a rich man produced, and he talked about how he would build his barns, tear down his barns to build larger ones. But listen to verses 20 to 21. It says, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your what? Soul is required of you, and the things you are prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" So what are you preparing for? You wouldn't prepare for tomorrow, certainly. I got to go to work. I got to get my clothes out. I got to think about what I'm going to do at work. But is tomorrow a promise? Is my mind in the right place? Is my heart in the right place? Well, I think I just gave the scriptures to that. Now, certainly we can prepare, but my focus is on living out the rest of this day. That's where my primary focus is. Because ultimately, this is the day the Lord has given me that we can wake up. Will we be happy Monday morning? I got to go to work. I'll be honest, I'm not looking forward to going on 95. But the thing is, I got to go to work. I should be thankful for my job. I'm going to go eat. I should be thankful that God has given me the means to eat. He's given it to me. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't need to get into different things of how God is giving us these things. He is the one providing for you. We live in a world where people are like, "Well, I'm making money, but I want to be like a rich person like here." It doesn't matter. God is the one feeding you. He is the one providing for you. So we should rejoice today. And guess what? If he opened our eyes tomorrow, I want you to think about the little things. What are you sleeping on? Doesn't matter. You able to sleep somewhere? Has he fed you today? Doesn't matter where you ate. At your dining room table? Doesn't matter. Or somewhere else. He's feeding you today. He put clothes on you today, right? The idea is he is provided for you today. So guess what? We should be rejoicing. We should be singing songs of praises before we even come here and even tomorrow. And the day after that, if he gives it to us. So when we talk about 2025, there's a lot of things in this world. when it comes to what people would think we were going to do. You're going to see all the articles of, I was reading in Tech, what people should do for 2025. Well, how do you know? How do you know we'd all be living near a volcano next year? Doesn't matter, we're still living. We're still living. You know, and so likewise, to conclude the lesson is this. There is reason we can find rejoicing, because just like we can reflect upon, salvation came to us. Last scripture, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I'm not going to read verses 1 through 10, and then I'll close the lesson. It says, and Jesus, well, actually, I'm just going to, I'll read verses 7 and 10, but let's talk about Zacchaeus, right? And verse 3, it says, and sought to see Jesus, who was and could not before the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before him, climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Who can argue among Zacchaeus' zeal that this man had a zeal to come see Jesus and to welcome Jesus into his house that day? Not tomorrow. Not I'll get back to you. I got something to do that day. And then Jesus responded and said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Someone's not a Christian today. Jesus wants to be and abide with that person. He has come today. And in verse 9, Jesus, in responding to Zacchaeus, you know, this day salvation come to this house. As Christians, that's what we need to say to the world each and every day. Salvation has come. Because we are a light into the world. And there's too much distraction going on into the world to where Satan has distracted them, where they lose focus on the value which God seeks, which is their soul. So let us focus on these things and understand that if we lose hope for today, just remember that day you became a Christian, salvation came to you and you accepted. So remember and reflect upon these things. And certainly you can be that same opportunity when you run into a soul that's lost out in the world. So please reflect upon these things as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.